Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Nobody else. Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You're listening to AFR, and we thank you for listening. This is a program we do every day, Monday through Friday, live talk radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Folks, if you want to watch the show, and who wouldn't, you can go to Facebook or YouTube and just type in Today's Issues and check out the show there. And we will be posting our stories that we discuss here, so you can have access to that information as well at our Facebook page, Today's Issues. So, and you can engage with other listeners there as well. And we do pay attention to what goes on at that page. Brent, you keep up with that, and if people ask for things, we try to get it to them, right?
Yes, sir.
And do you ever have people there complaining about the show from time to time?
Very little.
Very little complaint about the show. You ban them, right?
No, not for the first offense.
You don't ban them?
No, not the first offense.
And you do well by not telling us what their criticisms are, because
we don't need to hear
them. We want only encouraging
positive
thoughts. Encouraging.
Positive, because we're never as heard a discouraging
word.
We're
the K-Love of Christian talk radio. Only positive and encouraging here.
That's right.
Okay. So thank you for – no, we do take constructive criticism and throw it out the window. So there you go.
If it's legitimate, from time to time, we do.
We do make mistakes or say things we regret and have to reframe them. But it's rare. But if you had to do it every day, you just might as well get off the radio.
That's true.
You don't need to be doing that kind of stuff every day. All right, Super Bowl was yesterday, right, Fred?
It was. And this Canadian, this is, pardon me, probably one of three games that I might watch during the year. That's
you mean professional football?
Professional football.
Well, you got hockey going on.
Hockey going on, yeah. Right. And we're getting into the interesting part of that season. But I did watch it, I guess, for a number of reasons yesterday, most of the game, because there was a lot of talk leading up to the game about politics being involved and all of that sort of thing. So I wanted to see how far that was going to go.
Right.
But also, Brady, the quarterback for the Patriots, I hear you guys talk.
Yeah.
You know, I heard Ed's remarks last
week.
Ed's
a Rams fan.
Yes.
But still, we were talking about the how
Brady being really good, but he's so good I don't like him.
I like Tom Brady, and I told people, I said, I've been a Rams fan since I was 8 years old, and I said, but if the Patriots win, I grew up in New England, if the Patriots win, I won't be sad. I'd be happy for Tom Brady.
Right.
So,
right. Because he didn't get enough love.
That's
Tom Brady, I know people don't want us to talk about football very long this show, and we're not going to, except to say Tom Brady is the greatest NFL quarterback of all time, and I think there's no question about that. What a lot of people don't know is, if they don't follow professional football, for example, it's made to, like all professional sports, it's made to promote parity so that the worst team in the league this year will get the highest draft pick.
Right.
So they'll get the best college player, and the idea is to give everybody sort of an even chance to – excel, so that all the cities and all the teams keep interest in their league, and everybody makes money. That's the whole idea. But what the New England Patriots have done is defy gravity, basically. And Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Brady won his first Super Bowl in 2001 or 2002. 2002 against the Rams.
Yeah, I remember
17
that.
17 years ago, this guy's been winning.
And here he is still
going.
This
was his ninth Super Bowl that he appeared in,
yeah,
and it was his sixth Super Bowl win.
You know, I've never noticed. I've never, maybe somebody else says, there's a, people, if you win too much, a certain segment of Americans start to hate you.
Like Alabama in college.
Yeah, they don't have to have
thing.
A reason
right.
other than you win too much.
Not those
I can't
guys
stand
again.
You because my team doesn't win as much as yours.
Right.
It's called raw human jealousy.
Yes.
And it raises its head in all of our,
right.
especially for sports fans. Mm-hmm. We don't like a king of the hill too long, do we?
That's right.
And we want to knock them down.
So
if you can't knock them down with legitimate stuff, you just make up stuff. Huh?
That's right.
So Brady's kind of like, I've never seen any interview with Brady that where he's been cocky or arrogant
or very condescending.
Mm-hmm.
He was interviewed after the game. He said, man, the Rams played. They were tough. And
right. He went over and congratulated the quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs a couple weeks ago. And last night.
Went to the locker room
yeah.
where the Chiefs quarterback was weeks ago.
Wow. And then to top it all off, he marries a supermodel. We can't have that. You know, we got to hate him for that too, right?
No, I'm very happy with my wife, Tim.
No, I'm just saying.
I know.
I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying.
I was just trapping you.
All right, there you go. There
was a very good defensive battle.
Was.
I mean, it
yeah,
really was.
It
wasn't the most exciting thing because they didn't have you know wasn't 50-48,
right.
but it was wow.
Yeah.
Defensive schemes, defensive
yeah.
stands. It was enjoyable.
Before the game, Gladys Knight, the well-known Midnight Train to Georgia,
singer. She's from Atlanta.
Yeah, she's from Atlanta.
The Empress of Soul.
She was asked to sing the national anthem, and some people thought maybe she. Some people on the, I don't know what you would call it, the social justice side, the regressives, as Abraham Hamilton III
right.
calls them, thought she shouldn't do it to show. I don't know to show what support of Colin Kaepernick, I guess. But anyway, she honored the request
yep.
of the league to sing the national anthem for her hometown crowd.
Did a great job.
Knocked it out of the
Cut
park.
Cut one.
For the land of the free. And the home.
Man, she still got it.
74 years old.
Wow.
That gives me chills just hearing her. That's
74 amazing. And she still got pipes like that?
Whoa.
That's wow. amazing. Anyway.
In terms of the performance, nothing but applause. People just love that performance. But now she did say, because she's done civil rights work all her life too, she said, quote, she told Variety magazine, "It's unfortunate that our national anthem has been dragged into this debate when the distinctive senses of the national anthem and fighting for justice should each stand alone." So she was criticized because she's black, and some thought, well, you shouldn't sing the national anthem because it's racist. And she has spent her life working with civil rights, and she said, no, listen, the sentiments of the national anthem,
right?
Yes, the sentiments of the national anthem should drive us forward. And
good for her.
Yeah, good for her. And man, did she knock it out of the park.
I don't think anybody kneels anymore. Well, I didn't hear anything about that. It dropped down to almost nobody in the NFL. Just a handful of players
right.
were taking a knee during the national anthem. I don't think anybody did yesterday.
Do you think even supporters of the NFL were understanding what was happening with regards to people really getting ticked over this, and that the league, people kneeling during the national anthem, and they didn't want this anymore. So I mean, I wonder if the message was getting to the league that you got to do something about this.
But they never did anything.
They didn't do anything. But I think people who love the game. I think that message did get through that this has to stop or we're going to continue to abandon it.
Because I think it was costing them money.
Yeah.
Well, by the end of the season, I think attendance and viewership had picked back up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think as the controversy kind of fell into the background, and like you
but
said,
but they quit
Tim,
kneeling by the end too.
Yeah,
yes.
As fewer and fewer people participated in the kneeling.
It was both.
Yeah.
I mean, the players quit kneeling, the ones that were. And the fans quit protesting by not showing up and not
right.
watching.
And the NFL, I think during the last week or two before in the run-up to the Super Bowl, I think gave $500,000 to some causes that you know for civil rights and
You know, how long are you going to kneel till Jesus comes back? I mean, how long are you going to, you know what I'm saying? Right. How long do you keep on with this thing? And quite frankly, the idea of millionaires playing a game protesting America when they're probably 80% African American, just, I don't know, doesn't kind of rings hollow. Now, if you were to ask Colin Kaepernick when he first took a knee, he's no longer in the league, obviously. And that they people claim that that's racist because another team doesn't pick him up. Let me get back to this for a minute. When he first started taking a knee, his idea was protest police violence against blacks.
Yes.
And there was something else that he was threw in there. Well, he kind of threw the whole ball of wax for the social justice movement in there after a while. I wouldn't have had a problem, quite frankly, though I disagree with his politics. If he'd have said, I'm going to make a statement one Sunday and take a knee, and this is what I'm protesting, and I'd like to have a national conversation about it.
Right.
But he took a knee after he was benched.
Yes.
He didn't take a knee as a starter.
Well, and to your point, if he had done what you said,
yeah,
that would have been a more efficient way of raising the issue. Because the longer people, and this has went on for 2 years, the longer players knelt, the more the controversy became over the kneeling.
Yes.
Nobody was talking about
what the reason was.
They were all saying, I don't think you should kneel during the national anthem.
Right.
You're showing disrespect to the military. It was all off center.
Right.
It was in the weeds.
People whatever effectiveness even, it had, it lost it pretty quick into the discussion. So. Anyway, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Midnight Train to Georgia, one of my favorite songs, by the way.
Yeah.
From Gladys Knight. Whatever happened? Did the Pips didn't get to sing?
No, they weren't invited.
The Pips are probably pretty old, too.
Maybe
they can't sing like she can. That was just phenomenal.
The Pips are having hip replacements.
And Pips don't have the pipes.
They don't have the pipes anymore,
I guess.
Wow, that was impressive, though, by Gladys Knight. Can you imagine the pressure on you as a performer? I'm talking about a singer. I'm not talking about a football player. That's different. But you're in the middle of a stadium of 80,000 or whatever it is there.
Acoustics can't be great. That's going to be, you know.
And the world is watching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're
singing. Whatever they say, like 2 billion people or something crazy.
Watching you sing the national anthem. You can't. And you see, every once in a while, you see these celebrities that forget the words.
Yeah.
No, that's hilarious.
It's not an easy song to sing, they say.
No, it's not. But forget the words.
Let me just jump in just one thing. I saw this. I don't know which hockey game it was, but, of course, they always have someone come out on a carpet, and they sing the national anthem. The home team provides it. And this young lady came out. She's not famous. She looked like she was like 22. Sing the national anthem, forgot the words, got embarrassed, turned around, walked off. And then came out with the words on a piece of paper. I thought, wow, this is gutsy. And she slipped and fell on the ice.
Oh, no.
I just thought, goodness. This bless girl, I hope heart, she has a good sense of humor because that's going to be hard to live down.
Yeah, wow. Man. Now, at National Hockey League games, do they sing both the Canadian and American?
If there's a Canadian team playing that night.
Then they will sing both.
They'll sing both.
Yeah, they will. You.
Yeah,
the only thing that bugs me are national anthem.
I like the Canadian national anthem.
Right.
It's pretty.
I know the first two words.
Oh, Canada?
Yeah. After that, I don't know.
Bugs me when they sing a totally different version. They use not different lyrics, but the way they perform it.
Yeah.
And they get into all kinds of
voice gyrations.
Why are you doing this?
I'm the same way about Christmas carols, though, too.
Yeah.
Sing it straight, pal.
Yeah. All right. Next story, Fred.
Well, ads are always a big deal for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And there was one that kind of surprised me last night. Some of them were pretty good. One that kind of surprised me, the Washington Post, one of the most left-wing newspapers in the country, ran a 60-second ad, which cost them over $5 million, we're told. And the narration was done by Tom Hanks. And it was to honored journalists, and I think the theme of the
and
ad
the freedom
was
of the press, too.
Freedom of the press. The theme of the ad that was supered on the ad was democracy dies in darkness. So let's play a little bit of this, then we'll come back and talk about it. Cut six.
When we go off to war, when we exercise our rights, when we soar to our greatest heights, when we mourn and pray, when our neighbors are at risk, when our nation is threatened.
So, well, you know, 60-second commercial, Tom Hanks' voice sounded pretty good. And they were dealing with journalists who have lost their lives, a lot of them, although there were pictures of current-day journalists in there, too. So, but, you know, when I saw that last night, I thought embedded in the idea of running that ad was the war on Donald Trump. And
why
the narrative that we've seen from the Washington Post and CNN is that Donald Trump is endangering the lives of all journalists.
I didn't get that, Fred.
Because of his fake news and all of that sort of thing. Oh, some of them have said this even long before this ad, that he's endangering our lives by going out there and telling people that what we're in the business of putting lies and distortions out there. So, but the other aspect of this, you're going to be shocked by this perhaps. The Washington Post sponsored this ad, over $5 million. Washington Post employees are upset. And that's a story that's out there this morning. They're upset because apparently Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, who owns, Amazon owns the Washington Post now, they're upset. They said that $5 million could have employed more people, could have given some of our employees better health insurance, et cetera, et cetera. So that has become the story in all of this. It was a waste of money. It should have been spent on us. So whatever the intention.
Is it Bezos or Bezos? Or does
I've
it matter?
I've heard Bezos. What did you say?
Bezos. I said
oh,
long
Bezos.
Yeah.
Well, you're Canadian. So, yeah. you know.
We can
you
be can, forgiven, right?
You can say it, eh?
Eh?
Yeah.
But so, yeah, there's and they're naming themselves, too, in their complaints online. Who they are. And they're just saying it wasn't fair. But I guess because there's been so much of this nonsense out there, this narrative that President Trump in his criticism of the news business is diminishing their importance in our society and even endangering some lives, I thought that was perhaps a political motive. I've never seen a newspaper sponsored ad.
Yeah, it may have been. I just took it as a because they did show CNN's
Anderson Cooper,
and they showed Fox News's
Brett Baer.
Mm-hmm. So that to me was a signal they were showing, you know, for left and right. They were saying here.
Well, newspapers are in serious trouble.
Yes.
I mean, just as an industry, and that may be part of it too. They may be trying to, but they've in a sense, it's not only technology that's moving away from what we all grew up with in terms of the daily paper and all that, but they have harmed themselves in becoming very partisan, the mainstream media. And so,
you know, it's kind of getting nostalgic here. I know I am, but it's kind of sad that the newspaper industry in America is dying. As somebody who grew up on reading that's how I majored in journalism in college. And I was, if I wouldn't be doing this right here today, I wanted to write, be a sports editor at a major newspaper. That was my lifelong, you know, that was what I wanted to do. But I just, I got the inspiration from that, if you will, because when I was like 8 years old, I started reading the newspaper.
Yeah.
8 or 9, 10 years old, and I would, you know, now.
Lay on the floor, open the paper?
Well, the Soviets could have launched nuclear weapons at us.
Right.
But I wanted to read the sports first.
Sports page, sure.
I would read the sports page first, and then I would read. I would look through the, you know, the hard news, but I'm just saying. The paper, the daily paper, your community local daily paper, that's going to be completely gone away with. I guess that's where we're headed, but I think that's kind of sad because I do think it deters reading. And now maybe people would say, well, no, people are just getting it online today. Right. Well, maybe so, but I doubt that they're reading the local paper online like people used to do at the breakfast table or or you know, the dinner table or in the, as my dad would do some at, you know, in his chair at night.
Most major cities had a morning edition and an evening edition, two major newspapers.
Yeah.
Chicago Tribune and the Chicago, what was the other?
Sun.
Yeah.
Sun Times.
Sun Times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
New York Times, New York Post. So, I mean, that was typical.
I'll still buy a hard copy of the newspaper on the weekend, just when I have more time. Yeah. I like in my hands.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Just,
I'm that way with books. I'm not that way with the newspaper anymore.
You mean you don't read? You'd like to have a real book in your hand.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something I can underline.
Gotcha. Yes. Yeah. Gotcha. Exactly.
You're listening to Today's Issues. Next story, Fred.
Well, the governor of Virginia, he's a Democrat, Ralph Northam, been in the news a lot lately, the last several days. He made headlines last week, you may remember, with this bill that was introduced in Virginia by Kathy Tran. She is a Democrat there. And she made headlines, this bill that she introduced, basically saying it's okay to abort babies right up to the moment they are about to give birth. So the full 40 weeks has passed, 9 months has passed, and she's okay. This bill would allow this, plus remove any restrictions that are now in place in Virginia.
But the bill failed.
The bill failed. It was tabled. Tabled.
They were trying to do what New York did.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I'm sure they'll bring it up again next year or some other time.
They will.
Yeah.
And the governor at that time, all in, all for this.
Right.
Nothing wrong with this. And he's a medical doctor. Well, he was a hero for the left. The left thought he was doing a great thing by out there supporting abortion. But then something happened. Somebody found a photo of the governor when he was back in university. And it was a photo
medical
of him
school.
At medical. He was at a party of some type. And he had painted his face in black. Blackface.
Now, did he admit that that was him? Because at one time he said it wasn't him.
It's gone both ways. The story was, yes, it's me. No, it's not. But now, I mean.
It was from 1984.
Yes.
From 1984. So let me get this straight,
Fred.
I'm no fan of this guy. I think he should resign for being in favor of what amounts to infanticide. I mean, good night. Anybody has that position on abortion, that's disgraceful, okay, in and of itself. But setting that aside, this guy has a picture of him from 1984 in a yearbook.
Yes.
A medical school yearbook. He's good night. If he's 1984 in medical school, I'm thinking the guy's 60, right? Something like
that. You mean
that.
Currently?
How old is he, the governor?
I'll look it up.
He's got to be 60. He looks 60 to me, something like that. But anyway, my point is, I just don't think it's fair to take a lifetime's worth of.
He's 59.
Okay, he's 59. You have a record of being an adult in the public, both private and in his case, governor, for what is that? 35 years?
Probably 35 or 40 years.
And you're going to go back to a yearbook? And say your life is over, resign from being governor.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe
don't agree with his politics.
No, no.
Either.
I think he needs to resign for another reason. I'm just saying, come on. Is that, if you're going to go by that standard, there's going to be a lot of other people that are going to be, he was wearing a black face imitating Michael Jackson, right?
And standing next to a person that was dressed up in a KKK.
Yeah. I think he should apologize, but I think it's
go back in somebody's past and say, no, your life is over?
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back in a minute.
On the next Today's Issues, our guest will be Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Rams superstar Todd Gurley did an interview on Sports Spectrum, and he talked about how much God means to him. It's the first time he's spoken out about his faith. He said, he means everything to me. God, to me, is everything. Without Him, none of this is possible.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News reporters. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, our June tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon is almost full, and September will be full before long. So if you want to go with us on one of these spiritual heritage tours in June or September, please check out the information now at spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com. You know, one of the places we go is the Arlington National Cemetery. We usually do that on Friday morning, and that is just a majestic place. It's hallowed grounds for us as Americans. It's there we'll see the changing of the guard at the tomb of the unknown soldier. That's just one of the places we see on one of the days we are in Washington, D.C. If you want more information on the Spiritual Heritage Tours, go to spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. The Boy Scouts are no longer the Boy Scouts. The once revered scouting program has officially gone gender neutral. From now on, the Boy Scouts will be known as Scouts BSA, and girls can officially join the program. Critics say the Scouts' decision is based on simple math. BSA membership is in a free fall, so is their money. In 2018, the BSA warned they may have to declare bankruptcy to cover the cost of sexual assault settlements. Meanwhile, the real Girl Scouts have sued the Scouts, formerly known as Boy, over copyright infringement. The Girl Scouts currently allow boys who identify as girls to join their ranks, but not boys who identify as boys. It's all very confusing, which is why thousands of parents are moving their kids to other programs, like Trail Life USA and American Heritage Girls. Be sure to check out ToddStarnes.com for more conservative news and commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Fred Jackson. If you want to send us an email, we welcome those at comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. We were talking about the governor of Virginia, who's he's 59. Is that what
he's
you
59.
Said?
59.
Mm-hmm. 59 years old, and somebody found a college yearbook from 1984 in medical school where there was a picture of somebody dressed up like a Klansman. And then there was somebody else dressed up in blackface. Now, the governor said that wasn't him.
But nobody's believing him. Not even his fellow Democrats.
Well, I don't think they care. But anyway, he did admit to dressing in blackface at another party. This yes. is what he's saying, where he said I was pretending to be Michael Jackson.
Right.
Of course, Michael Jackson was very popular at the time. The point is, because of this, now even Democrats are calling on him, even the former governor, are all calling on him to resign.
Correct.
To step down mm-hmm. for doing that in 1984.
And let me just say, not to get away from the discussion on the governor, but the lieutenant governor in Virginia, Justin Fairfax, he's been accused of sexual assault 15 years ago. So now there's calls for him.
I believe her. You got to believe the victims.
This is now going back to the governor. This is the standard that Democrats have raised.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to if it's a woman claiming sexual harassment or sexual assault, you have to believe her.
Right.
So now the Virginia Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax, who would be taking the governor's place if the governor stepped down.
Too?
I think he is. Yes. Let me see. I'm looking for that.
Okay. If he's a Republican, certainly we believe her. If he's a Democrat, I probably believe her.
Yes. You know. Well, I'm guessing because the woman claims Fairfax assaulted her at the 2004 Democratic National Convention. So obviously,
2004.
He's a Democrat as well.
Okay. Well, anyway, personally, if the governor was the one dressing up as the Klansman, you don't have a you got to go. I would agree with that, even though that's one of those things you better be careful what you do as a youth, because it's going to come back to haunt you one day. Mm-hmm. But if he was in this is my opinion, and people may disagree, and that's fine. This is not thus saith the Lord. Okay, but I'm just saying, if a man dressed up like Michael Jackson in 1984 at the height of Michael Jackson's popularity, if that's what he said he was doing, and doing the moon dance or whatever he was doing, and somebody took a picture of you, and now today you're supposed to resign as governor in disgrace over that, I don't agree with that at all. I agree he needs to resign over his pro-abortion views.
Right.
That's far worse than that. Anyway, that's my view. And
let me just say my view about the sexual
assault.
Does
your view agree with my view?
I absolutely on the KKK, the blackface. That is kind of a serious offense to black people. But I will say this: I think there were probably a lot of white people who were ignorant about the fact that.
Sure, they were, and that's 40 years ago.
Yeah, the people go, oh, okay. Well, I didn't really realize. I might give him a pass on that, but he should apologize for it today.
He did.
Okay.
He has.
And I will say this about the sexual assault claims. To me, a woman has the absolute right to decide whether to go to the police and pursue prosecution or not. That's her choice. But if she decides not to go to the police, I don't think it's right for her to 40 years later come back and say, he assaulted me 40 years ago. Because there's no way to prove it either way.
It's like with Brett Kavanaugh.
So if you chose not to go to the police,
right,
then you shouldn't come out 40 years later and say, because how does a guy defend himself?
Yeah.
How does he prove he didn't do it?
Right.
You know, Brett Kavanaugh, it was unusual. He had his day planners. Remember that? His calendars. And he had all that stuff still. Very few people have that. Mm-hmm. So if you make that choice, you've got to realize that 40 years from now, you can't accuse someone because it's too late.
You can if they're conservative.
True. Well, this is a Democrat that's being
Remember
accused,
Justice
so.
Thomas?
Yes.
Clarence Thomas. You know what happened there. Anyway. All right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We're at AFR.net. We have podcasts. So if you want to download our podcast for this show each day, go to AFR.net. Simple to do. Just download the podcast of the program. Well, one of the things we do here at American Family Association and American Family Radio is try to encourage pastors and their families. And so once a year, and now twice a year, we sponsor what's called the Fishbowl Retreat. And so we want, if you're a pastor right now, or if you want to potentially send your pastor to this retreat we're going to have, then listen up, because we're going to be talking about that.
Pastor and wife.
Pastor and wife. Bert Harper is with us. Brother Bert Harper. Good morning. Good morning, Brother.
The Lord
Bert.
Calls me Bert, Tim. He doesn't use those formalities. Good to be with you.
But everybody else calls you Brother Bert.
Yeah, it is.
They used to call my dad Brother Don.
Yeah. Yes.
Everybody called my dad Brother Don. Brother Bert. You served in churches. How many?
38 years.
30 as a local pastor?
Yes. Yes.
And how many churches did you survive?
Four. I was at one church two times. One is a youth minister and came back as pastor.
Gotcha.
So I stayed there 28 years. One church, 28 years.
But nearly four decades in the ministry.
Yeah, it has been. I know I don't look that old, but I started young, guys.
Oh, you look it.
Ed's known for his direct.
Yeah, I tell you, I know.
All right, so Bert, you've you organizing, you and your wife, Jan.
Yes.
You organize these, what we call fishbowl retreats. We've had them annually. Now you're going to do two.
Yeah.
Now tell our listeners what they are, the fishbowl retreats, and then how to how they can get their pastor signed okay. and his wife signed up.
The fishbowl retreat, the reason we call it fishbowl is because a lot of times pastors and their wives feel like they're being observed more than a lot of other people.
Well, they are.
And I tell folks when I go to Walmart and I was pastoring, I came across a member there. I was going to check my card out to see what I had in it. And it's just part of the territory we've learned to live with. But it's good to get away from that territory with other people who are experiencing the same things, 3 days and two nights. And Jan and I, we pour into them. We tell them different things about what we've learned. It's a retreat, not a conference. If you go to a conference, you know it's one
right.
sermon.
Wall to wall.
This is a real retreat.
This is a real retreat.
And when is this and where is it going to be?
It's April the 9th, 10th, and 11th of this year. It's going to be in Tyler, Texas. First time we've ever been in Tyler, west of the Mississippi, at the Pine Cove Camp. And they have several areas there. This one's at the Bluffs where they have rooms for the couple. You know, each couple has their own room.
Okay.
It's dormitory. And it's limited spacing because it's we like it that way. That's one reason.
You want a small group. It's intimate. It's enjoyable. You don't have hordes of people there. So you have room for, 50 pastors and wives?
No, 30 there. Now, we usually do up in Linden, but here it's 30.
Only 30 couples?
Only 30.
Now
that people are already signing up.
Okay.
Gotta make up your mind quickly.
Okay, what do people need to do if they want to go and look at this?
They can contact us at repairingthefoundations.net, and that's a plural, foundations.
Repairingthefoundations.net.
I tell if you don't put the S on there, you're just gonna have to learn to how to prop up your house. So make sure you put
right.
the S on
right.
repairing the foundations. Or you can call this number.
Who does this ring?
This rings Barbara. You know, Barbara Coggin.
Oh, here at our
at our place.
This
yeah.
rings American Family.
Yeah, I shouldn't have given her last name.
Okay.
So we
okay.
everybody forget that. 1-800-326-4543. 1-800-326-4543. And she's extension 300.
That's Barbara. Now but you first need to go.
They're repairing the foundations.
And read about it.
Yeah, you can go there.
Now, how much do y'all charge?
$400 this year. It's nicer this year. And we
for
had
a couple?
For a couple. 3 days, two nights, food free.
For 400 bucks?
$400.
Are we getting beat on this deal,
Yes,
Bert?
We are. You know it.
Well, and
you know
thing.
We are.
If you're a person of means in your church, maybe you want to sponsor your pastor and his wife.
Do you know
or
that's
the
what
church.
Most do?
Or the church itself. Send your pastor and his wife to.
So if they go to that website, can they read about what kind of content is there? You have I'm sure you do praise and worship, and then you have topics that deal directly with
how to live.
How to live as a pastor.
Yeah, it's not how to preach better sermons, not how to have a better committee meeting. It is how in the world.
And there is a guest speaker.
There's Jess Reeve.
Awesome.
You remember that?
Yeah, Jeff. Pastor Jeff from
Texarkana.
First Baptist Church, Texarkana.
And he does a program from his heart.
Great
o'clock.
Show, Bible show.
Oh, listen, he is.
Yeah. He's going to be there?
He's going to be there.
Okay.
He and his wife.
All right.
And so it's going to be a great time. Again, it's a retreat, not a conference.
When is it?
It is April the 9th, 10th, and 11th.
In limited seating.
It is. And
I mean, limited
rooms. The reason we're doing two, Ray Pritcher did it 1 year, and I know he came back and shared it with you. He said, man, Bert needs to do more of these. So I got the go-ahead, so I decided we'd go west of the Mississippi.
You'll fill up pretty quick, so people need to.
Well, I appreciate
that's a,
you.
That's a pretty cheap price to have. And if it's $400 a person, that's different. But you're talking about $400 per couple.
And that's room and board. That is for the sessions. That's the food.
Everything.
Yeah. And sure
Tyler snacks. We even supply the snacks.
They're having it where now?
It's at Pine Cove Camp at the Bluffs in Tyler, Texas. Beautiful. It's beautiful.
Okay.
Jan and I went by there to check it out to make sure before we said yes, and we're anxious to be there.
You ever have like extra snacks left over that people don't eat? Can you bring them back?
We brought them back before.
Okay. Oh,
man.
Good.
Yeah, we do.
All right. Thank you, Bert.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Brother Bert.
Yeah, Brother Bert. All right, Fred. Back to the good news of the day.
Back to the good news of the day. Well, this is kind of a fun story. You know, I'm I've not been shy about criticizing the mainstream media. But here's a headline from the Associated Press that I did not have to adjust for any bias this morning. This is the Associated Press.
And it's, and by the way, it is frequent that you guys cross the street, One News Now, and when you run stories for radio, I mean for our American Family News, you have to make all sorts of adjustments with the AP.
We have to cleanse for bias.
Yes, very biased.
But here's the way they put it out. Democratic contenders hoping to run on soaking the rich. Now, are you listening, folks? This is the conclusion of a liberal news agency. The vast majority of Democratic contenders for president in 2020 are hoping to run on soaking the rich. They are admitting our purpose for running is to get more money out of your pockets. There it is.
And well, what's rich to them?
All right. Well, this is the interesting part. Now, we've heard Ocasio-Cortez, you know, 70% tax rate for the billionaires. Well, Kamala Harris, Senator Kamala Harris, threw her hat in the ring last week. She's dropped that down a little bit. Now, listen to this, folks. Now, this is buried in the story, but I want you to listen to this. Kamala Harris would pay. She's one of those Medicare for all people. She's already announced that. She was for this party by eliminating the Trump tax cuts for households earning more than $100,000 a year. This is the AP. This would be politically risky because this group, while comfortable, is largely not the mega rich. Now, understand, folks, you got a break. So you got households today, you know, mom and dad both work, husband and wife both work. Not uncommon in many households today, over $100,000. She wants to take the tax break away that they were given by the Trump tax cuts. Now, you stop and think about this. Some of the others, it's $250,000. There's a poll out there, and if the household income is $250,000 or less, which some of the, they want to tax those too, the popularity for these Democrat proposals for taxing people goes down dramatically. So stop and think about this. The recent polls have shown that in the burbs, Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, there has been, you know, that's where young couples live. They're raising a family. That's suburbs, where they can afford a house. But they're making $100,000 plus or $200,000 plus. These are Democratic Party supporters that are going to get hit by these presidential candidates. They're out there saying we're going to tax the rich, so Medicare for all. These are the people who are going to pay for it.
Yeah, so let me see if I get this straight. So when Democrats like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or others are talking about soaking the rich, a lot of Democrats are for that.
Oh, yeah.
Until they're included in the category of rich. And then they go, well, now wait a second. I was okay with soaking those other guys.
Yeah, no.
But I don't want you soaking me.
Exactly. A rich person is somebody who makes more money than I do.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right. But if you're just over $100,000, probably even up to $200,000, you're probably still considered middle class. You may be upper middle class.
Oh, in those cities that you mentioned?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you occasionally, my wife and Allison, we watch these house flipping shows or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And we'll be watching them, and people are buying some 1,800 square foot, 40-year-old home on a 600 square feet, you know, or quarter of an acre, and they go, yeah, we're going to, this house appraised out at $579,000.
Yeah.
And we just look at each other going, my, I guess we got it pretty good here where we live.
Where land is not so nearly expensive.
Right. But we're just going, how much money do these people make?
I know.
Yeah. Huh?
And they're just like an average couple, and they live in suburban wherever, and you're going, well, they must make $300,000 or $400,000 to be able to support, buy that home. So, I mean, to answer your question, those kind of people I just described are out there, and they're Democrats. A lot of them are Democrats. But now when these Democratic presidential hopefuls start saying we want to hit those people with 50% taxes or 20%, I don't know what their threshold
is. We want to take money from you guys.
I think what's going to be hilarious
is vote for us. We'll take money from you.
When you see Bloomberg, the former mayor of New York, he's a multi-billionaire. I don't know. How much? $13 billion or something. What he's worth? $10 billion. maybe more than that. And then you got the Schultz.
Howard Schultz,
the former CEO of
Starbucks.
He's the one who founded it. He's a billionaire because he founded Starbucks. He got offended the other day when somebody was going after him. One of the Democrats were going after him, you know, and wanted to tax him for 70. He was asked about that. He said, no. Mm-hmm. Right. He said, I'm offended. He said, I started this Starbucks company out of my house and gave my life to it and put a lot at risk and built it and worked hard. And now I'm successful. And now all of a sudden you want to take 70% of my income.
Right.
You know, and call that moral. In other words, he was rejecting this whole Democrat idea. Maybe that's why he isn't running as a Democrat. He can't go along with them on this kind of stuff.
Well,
I want to see Oprah's face.
We want 70%.
She says, are you going to, when they say we're going to take 70% of your income, are you good with that? You know, because she's a Democrat, right?
Right.
That's right.
Well, you know, most of our listeners are familiar with documentary filmmaker Michael Moore, radical leftist. But now he says that brand new Congresswoman, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, everyone's going to start calling her AOC from now on, I guess, because it's too long.
I thought that was a condition.
AOC.
Huh?
Anyway, he calls her the new leader of the Democratic Party. And he's urging moderates in the Democratic Party to take a position because he says, quote, there is no middle ground anymore. She's the leader of the Democratic Party. Everyone knows it. Everyone feels it. And so he's saying that AOC, the person, not the condition, okay, that AOC is the leader and everyone just needs to get over it in the Democratic Party and pick your side. So this is really going to be interesting over the next couple of years. I think today is – actually 2 years out, isn't it, or 1 year out from the
inauguration?
New Hampshire primary.
Oh, the primary.
Or
yeah.
Maybe it's Iowa.
It's a year from now.
A year from now, yeah. Right. So this is going to be very interesting over the next year to see Democrats. They are going to have to go to the far left, like you're talking about, Fred. If AOC, if Ocasio-Cortez is the leader of the Democratic Party, and everyone needs to get behind her, like Michael Moore's suggesting, this Democratic Party might race so far to the left, they fall off the political cliff. I'd like that metaphor.
Do the math. If this is what you want. Well, President Trump, a little busy today. He's getting ready for his big speech tomorrow night, State of the Union address. This is going to be really interesting. You know, the president stands there in the House, and the Speaker of the House is sitting right behind him.
Yeah.
Guess who the Speaker is now? His favorite friend, Nancy. Nancy Pelosi. So think about that image for tomorrow night. Well, the president gave an interview this weekend to CBS News.
Is that 60 Minutes? Or was that just...
No, it's...
Well, it's become tradition now that right before the Super Bowl, whoever the president is gives an interview with a major news media source. So
right.
Anyway,
one of the questions, of course, he was asked had to deal with the relationship between Trump and Nancy Pelosi. So cut number five. This is the interview last evening.
You had quite the showdown with Speaker Pelosi. What did you learn about negotiating with her?
Well, I think that she was very rigid, which I would expect, but I think she is very bad for our country. She knows that you need a barrier. She knows that we need border security. She wanted to win a political point. I happen to think it's very bad politics because basically she wants open borders. She doesn't mind human trafficking, or she wouldn't do this because, you know,
she offered you over $1 billion for border security.
Excuse me?
She offered over $1 billion for border security. She doesn't want the wall.
She's costing the country hundreds of billions of dollars because what's happening is when you have a porous border and when you have drugs pouring in, and when you have people dying all over the country because of people like Nancy Pelosi who don't want to give proper border security for political reasons, she's doing a terrible disservice to our country.
And so with that, the president has set up the State of the Union address tomorrow night.
Which she went to the mat by basically refusing to let, while the government shutdown was going on, to let the president use the chamber where they normally have the House chamber for the State of the Union address. So she played politics as well, got involved in this. So let me ask you this. I'm not a betting man, but if I was, I would bet that we're going to see Nancy Pelosi roll her eyes behind the president during the speech, which is, you're not supposed to see that.
No.
I mean, you're supposed to be maintain your poise. You're behind the president. People know you disagree. I bet she rolls her eyes at some point.
Yep.
And I bet he goes after her.
Oh, I think he will.
Yeah.
I think the rumor is that some of his guests are going to include the angel moms.
Right.
These are families who lost loved ones because to illegal immigrants who murdered these family members. There's word that some of these angel moms are going to be there tomorrow night.
I don't agree that he's going to go after her personally.
He'll mention her, you mean?
No.
Not personally.
No, I don't, as direct and blunt as President Trump is, I don't even think he would.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, I think it might turn ugly. I think you see Democrats booing.
No, that could happen. I'm just saying I don't think he's going to say, and this witch behind me.
I'm not saying that.
Well, what's he going to say?
He's going to say Nancy Pelosi. No, he's not doing Ronald Reagan.
No, he will not.
Okay.
I know you're on a better man. I'll be shocked if he calls her out by name.
Do you think while he's talking, if he says something about the Democrats and the board, do you think she'll roll
her
eyes?
No, I think he will talk about maybe the Democrats on the board. I don't even know. I think he's going to frame it in the issue of, listen, country, I'm addressing the country.
Yeah.
We need what I'm asking for. Our border agents say we need it. This is not unreasonable. We're talking about a measly amount of money when you compare it to the federal budget. And I don't know what the big deal is about the other side of the aisle is trying to just score political points by just denying Trump. And I'm saying let's rise above that now and do what needs to be done for our country for border security purposes.
Oh, I think that's what he should say.
So we need this, and if it isn't included by next week, then I'm going to consider some other options I have. Mm-hmm. That's what he is probably going to say. I just don't think it serves any really good purpose to dig at her personally from the that'll be the story. It won't be the cause.
I understand. I'm just saying I'm going on the record.
You say Trump can go off script sometimes?
I'm going to say you're going to get at least one eye roll from Nancy Pelosi behind them.
I agree with that.
And then I think he might say something about
Somebody's
Speaker Pelosi.
Him.
I think it's time, Speaker Pelosi, that we have because this is just for politics. So I'm just going on the record. If I'm wrong, I will admit it.
I maybe could see something like that. I just don't think he's going to make it ugly in a personal way. I think his team will say we need to skip that and go for the issue.
Right.
Anyway, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We got a minute left, Fred.
I think.
What do you think? You going to agree with me or the Italian over here?
I think he's going to. He won't mention her name specifically. But he is going to go down the list of what she has caused him problems with, immigration in particular.
Right.
Because his last State of the Union address last year, immigration was a big thing, immigration reform.
Right.
And he's going to get up there tomorrow night and say, this is what I wanted to do. I put it out there, and the Democrats are stopping me from doing this. And that a wall is not immoral.
I agree with all that. It's going to happen.
I think he's going to do that. But also, on the positive side, he's going to say, look at our economy.
And the economy, he's got to hit that.
The economy is cooking.
Right.
It is. We have, 3% growth rate now?
Mm-hmm.
The European Union is in recession.
Yeah.
So the speech is not going to be all about
the
border
wall. Oh, no,
that'd be a mistake. Oh, no.
Because the economy is very good news for people.
If I saw the story correctly, we don't have time to talk about it now. One of the leading Democrats said we are going to put enhanced border security fencing. We've agreed to that kind of terminology. I think Trump may win on saying you call it what you want to.
Mm.
In other words, it's a matter of semantics.
Nancy
Pelosi doesn't want to call it a wall, but in essence, that's what it's going to amount to. We'll see. We'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.